Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, January 14th, 2018. And we're actually here a little bit early this morning. We're normally 11 a.m. Eastern, but today we're doing it 9 a.m. Eastern because today David, Louise, and I are taking a little trip. We're going up north to snow country, even though there's no snow up there.
But still, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. We get to see some friends, get to be out for the day, and actually try to stay in as much as possible because the temperatures are going to be in the single digits. But that doesn't matter. The important part is having the fun, and that's what we're going to be doing. So thank you for agreeing to do it early, by the way. I appreciate that.
Sure. Well, you know, when we have fun, we're raising our vibration. So
we are. Good. We are. And, in fact, that's what the chapter is going to be about this week. We're on chapter 21 of Asking It Is Given, and it's about the timing of being in that place of accepting and dreaming and focusing and staying happy and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good chapter.
Nice. So someone who listens to our show called me a few days ago because they were interested in the law of attraction coaching.
Oh, good.
And one thing she said, she goes, I love hearing about your wins and Walt wins. She goes, I love hearing all that. So I'm going to ask you, Walt, what wins have you had this past week?
There have been quite a few, actually. And in fact, I've got good news for her because among the wins are the fact that a project we've been working on to accumulate a bunch of law of attraction coaches and serious practitioners of the law of attraction, we're all getting together to co-author a book that will contain stories about law of attraction manifestations. So if you like having wins, you're going to have a whole book full of wins, and that book is going to be coming out sometime, I believe, like the second week of February. It's going to be pretty soon. So there's a big win.
That'll be great for people to read.
Yeah, there's a win for our listener right there and other listeners as well. So more will be coming on that. More will be forthcoming, as they say. Now, other wins, as a show, we had a huge win yesterday. We had our 15,000th download since November 2016. Yeah, 15,000. Yeah, 15,000 plays. That's what a download is. A download is a play. So every time one of you plays an episode through, that counts as one. And 15,000 have been played in the last 12, 13, 14 months. And before that, the number of plays were minimal. So it's pretty much since the dawn of time, pretty much since we started doing the podcast. My wife and I started in September 2012, because even as recently as November 2016, when we first started doing the accurate counting, we were getting less than 100 plays a month. So it's been a huge increase
and a big
run. Oh, a gigantic increase. I mean, I do a graph. You've seen the graph, I think, David, but
yeah.
I do a graph that shows what's happening with the podcast month after month, and it's pointing straight up. I mean, it's the best possible graph you can get. So, yeah, there's two great big wins right there. How about you?
Well, let's see. I went on a driving trip, and we had safe transportation both ways, so I count that as a win.
Sure.
And, yeah, I had a lot of great coaching calls lately. Oh, and this is one that you'll appreciate, too. Remember we had Janet call in from
right.
California.
Yeah.
She was going to buy a house, or she was looking for a house.
Yeah, it was the house with all the fireplaces in every room. I love that one.
Yes, well, I got an email from her. She found her house.
She did. Fantastic.
Yes, and it was great because she just kept focusing on what she wanted and in the area she wanted. And initially the house was in escrow with somebody else.
Oh, wow.
She was like, oh, no, but that's the house I want. And sure enough, the house fell out of escrow with whoever was trying to buy it for whatever reason. And she was able to get her offer in there, and they accepted it. And now it's going to close next month, so she's going to get her house.
Terrific. Congratulations, Janet. That's fantastic news.
Yeah. So she's like, thank you and Walt for encouraging me to dream bigger than I thought I could and all that wonderfulness. So I thought that was great.
I have to ask, you may not know the answer to this, but one of the things we were really teasing her pretty hard about was wanting to have a fireplace in the bathroom. And I'm just curious, did she get a fireplace in the bathroom, do you know?
I'll have to find out. She said there was a fireplace. I don't know if there's one in the bathroom. But
happy. I just thought that was, you know, so unique. I've never heard of anyone who wanted a fireplace in the bathroom. And quite honestly, anybody who's ever actually had to tend a fireplace knows that a bathroom is probably not the place you really want it, but she wanted a fireplace in the bathroom.
Well, she could always get one of those, ones that looks like a fireplace, but it really isn't.
Oh, yeah, one of the ones that actually works off of a fuel of some kind, like a natural gas. Yeah. Yeah, she could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even in my office, I have a really nice fireplace, but it's electric, and it throws off heat, you know, when it has, like, the fake flames.
Oh, okay,
but
right,
But it looks good. Like, you know, it's not real, but it still gives me the illusion.
Like if you don't look really closely, you think it's a fire, right?
Yeah, and it's the thing that's sort of the mantle around it is really nice, so she can get one of those, and she can have, if it's not in there, she could put one in there.
Well, the good news about one of those is they're a lot easier to maintain. So,
oh yeah,
I'm hoping it's one of those for her sake. You know,
you just plug it in and turn it on.
Plug it in. That's it. And pay the power bill. Well, that's another subject.
Well, but anyway, I thought that was great, and it was so nice of her to let us know.
Yeah.
She manifested her home, so that's great.
Well, she did promise she was going to call in once she got her new home, so I'm hoping after she gets the closing in February, she'll give us a call. That'd be really great to talk to her about it.
Yes. So I thought you'd be excited.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah, that's fantastic news. It's just great to keep hearing all the different stories. And you know, for the book that we're putting together, I'm starting to get ideas from the various authors. We currently have 23 authors involved. We're trying to get it up to 50. And so get a whole bunch of stories out of that. And some of them are showing me their story ideas. And really cool story ideas. And by stories, I don't mean fiction stories. I mean stories that actually happened to people. I mean, one of the really good ones, I don't want to give too much away, but she was talking about how she was going after her secondary black belt, and she actually visualized beyond it and got it. It was pretty wild.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild stuff.
I admire that, because that's something I would like to do in fantasy, but I don't think in reality it's going to happen. But I admire that.
Well, then
that.
You're right.
That's great.
If you don't think it's going to happen, you're absolutely right. It's actually a very timely point, because we had a friend over for dinner yesterday, and the friend's been going through some really rough times, and I mean, like, really, really rough, rougher than anyone you know. But he also has this long-standing habit of everything he focuses on is negative. And, you know, you can just see the pattern, especially when you understand how the law of attraction works. He's constantly focusing on the negative, and then all these negative things happen to him. And at some point, I keep hoping we pointed out, you know, but I'm hoping at some point the light goes on, the switch goes on, and says, oh, I keep thinking all these negative things, and the negative things happen. It hasn't gotten there yet. I keep hoping it's going to happen, but it hasn't gotten there yet. So anyway,
tell him to listen to the show.
He does. He's actually a listener.
Good idea.
He hasn't listened lately, he said, but he is. He does like the show a lot. And I'm just putting out there that, you know, I'm sending him good energy. I'm sending positive thoughts his way. That you know, he'll decide that he's had enough, and he'll decide that he wants to turn it around. And when he does, man, we're going to be right there for him, because nobody deserves it more than he does. That's for sure. I can tell you that, because of the stuff he's been. You wouldn't believe what he's been through.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times people don't realize how negative they think until they start focusing in and becoming aware of what they're thinking about. Because I always suggest to people, like, start thinking about and becoming aware of what you're thinking about and how you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I talk to them next, a lot of times people don't realize it until they start focusing in. They're like, wow, I never realized how negative I was always thinking until I started focusing on that and paying more attention to how I was thinking about things.
And it's true.
That's a great first step, because you have to at least get that so you can go from there. It's interesting. Some people just are so caught up in that pattern of negative thinking, they don't even realize it anymore. So that's what they're doing.
In his case, I actually think he is aware, and I think that because he told us a few times during the conversation, I know I should be talking positive, and then he goes into a negative story. So he knows the concept. I think for whatever reason, he either hasn't bought into the idea that his thoughts really do cause things to happen, or that he hasn't gotten to the point where it's bad enough that he's willing to make a change, which is really kind of remarkable considering what he's going through. But that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has a different bottom, so to speak, a different bottom they have to hit before they're willing to say, enough, I'm done with this pattern. I want to change it. He doesn't seem ready to change it. And you have to be ready. I mean, this is one of the things that Abraham Hicks talks about. Jerry Hicks would begin every workshop and every book and every recording while he was still alive with a message that said, essentially, this material is being provided for people who are ready to receive it. Well, if you're not ready to receive it, there's nobody who can help you until you're ready. You got to be ready.
Well, hopefully, as you say, he'll be ready.
I hope so. I mean, for his sake, for his mom's sake, for everybody. I mean, I just hope that... I just hope and pray for him. I really do. So good things going out to you, my friend. Anyway, let's get to the chapter here because it's a very important chapter. Ties in very closely to what we're talking about here. And the topic is one that kind of hits at the bottom point. You know, when you have to hit bottom and you're trying to come back up, that's where you're really challenged with the idea that you have to feel good first, that you have to focus on what you want first, you have to think about it first. And then the actions happen, not that your existence is all about reacting to stuff that happens that's outside of your control. So when you're in that very early stage, the very first question everybody wants to know is, why isn't it happening and when does it happen?
Right. It's taking too long. How's it going to happen?
This chapter goes a long way toward answering that because the chapter is chapter 21. This is the second to last chapter of the book, by the way, David. We're almost done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But chapter 21, you are only 17 seconds away from 68 seconds to fulfillment, which is a kind of awkward wording, but it actually does make sense when you read it. And for people who are not math astute, 17 and 68, 17 times 4 is 68. So it's 17 is one quarter of 68. And what they're basically saying is if you do something for 17 seconds and another thing for 68 seconds, which is four times the amount, then things start to happen. So let's find out what those things are, okay?
Yes. Well, they actually say it takes 17 seconds to shift a vibration and 68 seconds to shift a manifestation. And
you gave away the secret. I was going to get to it.
I'm sorry. Well, no, I said, once you read what you're going to read, then everyone will understand what that means.
Okay, that's fair. So anyway, here's the way the chapter starts. It says, with only a few seconds of focusing your attention on a subject, you activate the vibration of that subject within you, and immediately the law of attraction begins to respond to that activation. The longer you keep your attention focused on something, the easier it becomes for you to continue to focus upon it, because you are attracting, through the law of attraction, other thoughts or vibrations that are the essence of the thought you began with. Within 17 seconds of focusing on something, a matching vibration becomes activated. And now as that focus becomes stronger and the vibration becomes clearer, the law of attraction will bring to you more thoughts that match. At this point, the vibration will not have much attraction power, but if you maintain your focus longer, the power of the vibration will become further reaching. And if you manage to stay purely focused upon any thought for as little as 68 seconds, that's the 4 times 17, the vibration is powerful enough that its manifestation begins. When you repeatedly return to a pure thought, maintaining it for at least 68 seconds in a short period of time, hours in some cases or a few days in others, that thought becomes a dominant thought. And once you achieve a dominant thought, you will experience matching manifestations until you change it. Remember that. Bullet point number one, the thoughts you think equal your point of attraction. Bullet point number two, you get what you think about, whether you want it or not.
Yes.
Bullet point number three, your thoughts equal vibration, and that vibration is then answered by the law of attraction. Bullet number four, as your vibration expands and becomes more powerful, it eventually becomes powerful enough for manifestation to occur. And bullet number five, in other words, what you think and therefore feel and what manifests in your experience is always a vibrational match. That's pretty much the core of why is it taking so long, right?
Yeah.
And the other key point in there is that it has to be the pure thought. Remember they talked about how you have to stay purely on that thought. If you throw in any thoughts that contradict it, you just expanded how much time it's going to take.
So how would you define a pure thought in the way we're talking about it?
I think what it means is staying as focused as you can on whatever the thing is that you're trying to attract, not the lack of it, but the thing itself, or the experience itself, or the person themselves, or whatever it is, and basically keep at bay anything that contradicts it, anything that distracts from it, anything that leads you to a different thought pattern. In other words, you need to stay really, really focused on that one thing and basically try to live it.
Yeah.
Try to imagine that it's going on, and how are you feeling, and what are you experiencing? You know, play the scenario out, you know, and use that's the way to get through all the time that you need to get through, to stay focused. Just, you know, play it out. I wish I could tell you that story about the person who got the black belt, but I don't want to ruin her story, so I'll save that one. But
okay.
But I mean, what can we think of? There's got to be a quick example we can think of how, you know, you stick with something and you stay with a thought and you stay with it and you stay with it and you keep working with it, and sure enough, it manifests. Because there are lots of stories like that, right?
Yeah. No, but I agree that the pure thought is whatever it is that you want to manifest is your focus on that. You don't allow yourself to go into any of the resistance thoughts, like any fear, worry, and doubt. Like, how's it going to happen? But what if this? But what if that? You just strictly, deliberately focus on whatever it is you want in a 100% positive way.
I can think of one of the more dramatic examples. It comes from the movie The Secret. And
yeah.
It's extremely dramatic because it's the kind of scenario nobody ever wants to be in. Certainly not the person who was actually in it. It's a story of a man who crashed an airplane. Remember that one?
Oh, my.
Yeah, he crashed an airplane, and he was basically paralyzed from the neck down. He was hospitalized. The doctors had given a prognosis to his family of, you know, virtually no hope at all. If he lives, he will never be able to do anything more than blink his eyes. You know, it was that kind of thing. Really,
wow.
Really. That's about as dire as you can get, you know?
Yeah.
This is the kind of situation where family members start praying for you to die just because they don't want you to have to live that way.
Yes.
But in his mind, and by the way, this is his story. He told the story, so you can imagine that he didn't actually stay in that state of being only able to blink his eyes. He was able to improve at least enough to tell the story, right?
Yes.
Well, in his story, he said, in his mind, he didn't think of it that way. He heard what the doctors were saying. He heard how his relations were reacting. He heard all that, but he just refused to buy into it. He refused to give any thought to it at all. In his words, he had to give all of his attention, all of his energy to focusing on one thing, and that was to achieve his goal. And his goal was ridiculous. His goal was so big that you hear the goal and you say, you got to be kidding. I mean, it's great to be thinking positive thinking, but that's just unrealistic. His goal was to walk out of the hospital under his own power by Christmas. This is a man who was paralyzed from the neck down and could only blink his eyes. But he focused all his attention on that, and he wouldn't let in any of the stuff that the doctors were saying, the nurses were saying, that anyone was saying. He was just determined. He just stayed focused and focused and focused and focused. And then he tells the story about how at one point he heard this voice, so to speak. He had this strong impulse inside of him that said, breathe deeply. Well, he had a breathing tube. He had a lung machine that was doing his breathing for him. He couldn't breathe.
Wow.
I mean, he could not do his own breathing. He couldn't do his own swallowing. He couldn't do anything. The machine was doing it for him, but the message was saying, breathe deeply. So he gasped as best he could, trying to breathe deeply, and found that he actually could move his muscles a little bit. And, you know, was he taking a deep breath? Probably not, but he was trying to. His mind was trying to break through all the constraints that said, no, you can't do this. No, you are a vegetable for life. You have to learn to live with it. No, you're going to be like this forever. No, you have no hope. He was just determined to break through all that stuff, and he did. And he kept working and working. He got to the point where he could move parts of his body. He got to the point where therapists were able to help him start to exercise and get his limbs going again and so forth. And sure enough, he reached his goal. Very slowly, totteringly, he walked out of the hospital under his own power on Christmas.
Amazing.
He's called the Miracle Man. That's his nom de plume, so to speak.
Right.
It just goes to prove that all the preconceptions we have about how you can't make thoughts produce things, and all the preconceptions we have about how, well, you have to focus on what is, you can't focus on what you want to be, that's just, you know, unrealistic dreaming, all that's nonsense.
Right.
The simple fact is the only reason we get seemingly stuck in life, the only reason that things don't seem to change is because we keep focusing on what is instead of what our dreams are. If we focused on our dreams and we stayed on our dreams and don't let ourselves be distracted away from them, and I mean the good dreams, not the bad dreams. If you focus on the bad dreams, you'll get those too. But we don't recommend that.
No. No.
But it goes to prove. You focus on that stuff and you focus purely and you just keep your focus and keep your focus and keep your focus. You literally can achieve anything, including the miraculous.
I know, right? If someone can achieve that strictly by how they were thinking about it, my goodness.
And it's important to realize.
The other thing sounds easy, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, by comparison. And it's really important to remember, medical science had no hope for him. It wasn't a prognosis of he might possibly. It was zero hope. He was completely a hopeless case. Yeah. He was going to be a vegetable the rest of his life, and nobody could do anything about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently not.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's what you said earlier, too, about law of attraction. Like, some people think it's kind of like, oh, yeah, right. I had read an article recently. Because, you know, Oprah Winfrey made that speech at the Golden Globes, and everyone was like, oh, she's going to run for president.
Yeah, I heard about that, right.
And you know, there were a lot of comments, and there was this one reporter from a pretty prominent news organization, and they wrote in their article, oh, yeah, like, she would really be a good president. Like, she believes in the secret and law of attraction. And, you know, that what that is, like, if you just think you could have washboard abs, even if you're fat, it's going to happen. Like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was...
I thought to myself, wow, like, one more person who has no idea what the law of attraction is.
No.
And is putting it out there like that. And I felt so bad because I was like, anybody reading that who doesn't really know what law of attraction is would buy into that and think, oh, yeah, she's into all that, like, woo-woo stuff. And I just kind of was like, no, that's not what it is.
I have to admit, I got a zinger in on that subject because I saw another author, maybe in the same one, I don't know, but I saw he'd written an opinion piece on it, basically saying that because she had done that radio show on the topic of, well, she did a TV show on the topic of The Secret, and she did a radio show where she interviewed Esther Hicks and interviewed Abraham. Because of that, that disqualifies her, in his view, from being a candidate for president.
Obviously, that person has no understanding of what the law of attraction is.
Well, not only that, they don't seem to have any understanding of what the requirements for being president are.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
And the zinger I got in was, I left a little comment on the article. I said, so can we therefore assume from that if someone decides they want to run for president and they do so on the platform of espousing Christianity, that would disqualify them? It was actually a trick question because, of course, chances are he probably is a conservative anyway. It's the conservatives who tend to be more resistant. So, you know, the odds are kind of in that favor. And so he probably would, you know, recoil at the idea, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with promoting Christianity. And if he ever did that, then I'd come back with, great. Well, then you have no problem with her promoting the law of attraction because guess what? Sowing and reaping is the law of attraction.
A lot of people, not just that news reporter, because I talk to a lot of people, think they know what it is, and they don't. So I don't know where they're getting their information from, or if they're just making it up in their own mind, because I don't really know. But I was just like, no, you're spreading wrong information. Like,
well, you have to understand, there's a lot of fear associated with law of attraction teaching. And the fear is generated by the people who are the greatest opponents of it, and they are the greatest opponents because they themselves are afraid of it, and they themselves are locked into what is. That's even more importantly. They are locked into what they consider to be a reality, and they buy into the belief that reality is fate-based, there is nothing that individually we can do unless they're Christians who believe that they can be saved and in that way there can be a change. But it's not something they did themselves. It's something that God did for them. That basically we are victims of faith. That's their viewpoint. Now, they probably won't admit that. They probably won't acknowledge that. But that's pretty much what they're saying. That's pretty much what they're adding it up to. In fact, even if you get them to talk about sowing and reaping, which is a core concept in Christianity, you'll find that they limit the whole concept of sowing and reaping to thinking bad thoughts about somebody or trying to do something bad to somebody, as if that's as far as it goes. It doesn't apply in any other way. And It just shows not only how messed up they are about law of attraction, it shows how messed up they are about Christian theology. They clearly don't even know their own theology. They're so locked into their "this is the way it is" formula that they won't even consider anything that contradicts that. They won't consider any evidence. There's no amount of evidence that you can show them. There's no amount of indications. There's no experience. There is nothing that you can show them. And the saddest part is they are the kinds of people who are so locked in that if they themselves go into a nosedive, their bottom is going to be really far down. It's going to be, they're going to hit hard. If that's the path they choose to take, well, okay. But it's not the path I want to take, I can tell you that.
Yeah. That, you may have read that same article I did, because it kind of sounds, and I was going to leave a comment, but you had to like sign up and it was a process and I just didn't have the time in the moment. But I'm just like, no, people reading this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
It's possible we read the same one. I mean, I usually log in with my Facebook account because that's always pretty quick, because I don't really care, you know. And so, it didn't take me long at all. But I understand what you mean. If you're trying to do their method, it's a little bit crazy. Anyway, getting back to the main topic. The main topic is 17 seconds to start attracting matching thoughts and 68 seconds to actually start the process of getting a manifestation going. And Wendy actually was talking about this earlier this week. She thinks about it in terms of four rounds of 17 seconds. So 17 seconds, you're focusing on something, focusing on the thought purely, and another thought comes to you that's a match to it. And you focus on that for another 17 seconds. And then another thought comes to you that's a match to that. So you focus on that for another 17 seconds. And another thought matches that and comes to you. And you do that four times, and eventually you get through the 68 seconds, and now all of a sudden you've got basically a weak manifestation request going out there, and it eventually shows up. There is something to be said, I think, for trying to go beyond 68 seconds, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's easy to do, and it's actually enjoyable to do. So
it is. It is. It seems hard at first. In fact, they even said it here in the chapter. I'm pretty sure they said it. Let me look again. I'm not spotting it quickly. I thought I saw it, but basically, I thought I saw something that said the first few seconds can be kind of tough, but if you can stick to it, the second 17 seconds gets easier, and the third 17 seconds gets easier, and it just becomes easier and easier.
Yeah, because even with, like, a lot of times when I work with different coaching clients, at first sometimes people can't think of something in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, just trust that you can, because when we say, you know, like energy attracts like energy, it's with our thoughts as well. Like thoughts, like you were saying earlier, attract like thoughts. And then they think of one, and then before too long another one comes, and then the third or fourth positive thought comes even faster, and before you know it, they're off on this wonderful rampage of what they want. And they're like, wow, at first I didn't even think I could think of anything. And so that in the moment kind of demonstrates how like thoughts attract like thoughts. So they do come up when you try to do it. They do.
They do, and that is very effective for most people, I think. There are some people who are like me. Like, the first time I tried it, I got really frustrated because I found I couldn't hold a thought for more than 5 seconds. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I knew 5 seconds wasn't long enough to even attract another thought, let alone, you know, do anything with it, right? And I got frustrated. I couldn't. I said, how the heck am I going to do this? Because I get 5 seconds into it, and all of a sudden I get distracted by something else. It's like I have no control over my own mind. And surely I had been out of touch with the ability to control my own focus, to control my own mind for so long that it was like I had a really bad negative habit in place that I was trying to overcome. So it takes a while. And in fact, I found I couldn't even get to 17 seconds until I did some other stuff to feel better. Just anything that would feel better. And it took me a while to figure out what to do to feel better, too. But once I found a few things to do to feel better and then tried focusing, I found I could get it up to 17 seconds. And then once I got to 17 seconds, then it became a little bit easier to get to 34. And then it became a little bit easier to get to 51. And then easier to get to 68. And all of a sudden, now I'm in manifestation territory. So that's part of it.
The key thing that you did, which is important, is that you didn't give up, and you continued to practice.
That's right. Persistence. Persistence is everything.
Yes. So that's important. Like, it can happen. You have to just practice.
The other thing that would have been really helpful if I had been aware of it at the time, I was not, and it didn't occur to me, and I didn't have any teachers I was working with, so I was basically struggling on my own. But I wish I had been aware of it. It's a fact that we have all been manifesting all of our lives. We've been doing it by default. We haven't done it intentionally. We haven't done it deliberately, but we've been manifesting our entire lives. Anytime that we focus on any thought, anytime that we focus on any conversation, any event, whatever it might be, we are generating a vibration about it. And when you do it for at least 68 seconds, something's going to manifest out of it. So, I mean, it's even if what you're thinking about is terrible negative stuff, everybody's done that. Anybody can manifest, you know, negative stuff. It's not difficult to do. We've all learned it really, really well, and we've been doing it all our lives. So clearly, it isn't a problem of being able to focus. We really can focus. We really can. We've proven it over and over and over again. What we're trying to learn to do is to decide to focus on something other than what we're calling reality, other than the what is. And that's where it gets a little bit trickier, because now you have to start believing in it, even though you can't see it, even though you can't smell it or taste it or feel it. You have to start trying to act as if it's there anyway. And that can be a little bit to get over sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. We always have to do our best to focus on what we want so that what we want becomes our what is.
That's right. Yeah. So, like, if you have somebody who's...
On the what is, we keep having the what is.
If you have a client who wants to change, but they're stuck on the what is, how do you get them off the what is?
Well, it's pretty easy. I just say, well, whatever it is that we're talking about, I just say, well, what do you want? What do you want to have happen about whatever? And people at least know that. They can at least go there in some form.
But don't you also get people who say, well, I don't want this and I don't want that?
Yes, and I say, when they said that, I said, no, you're still telling me what you don't want. What do you want? And sometimes I say, well, what's the opposite of what you're talking about? Because every thought is two thoughts. It's the positive or the negative side of it. So you're telling me the negative side. What is the opposite of that? And it doesn't take too long, you know, before they're like, oh, well, I really want my business to succeed because it feels so good to have income coming in for my business. Then I can hire more employees if that happens. And, you know, before I know it, they're doing good on some kind of rampage about what they want as opposed to what they don't want. And usually it doesn't take too long.
And that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that is useful to understand about this is addressed in the next section of the chapter, actually. The section is called Your Uncontrolled Thoughts Are Not to Be Feared. And it reads, once the law of attraction is understood and accepted, which usually does not take long since there is not a shred of evidence anywhere in your environment to refute it, many people become initially uncomfortable with their own thoughts. That includes me. That's where I was. Once they understand the power of the law of attraction, it's true, that's where I was. Once they understand the power of the law of attraction and they begin to examine the content of their own mind, they sometimes worry about the potential of what they may now be attracting through their uncontrolled thoughts. But there is no reason to worry about your thoughts, for they are not like a loaded gun that may wreak powerful instantaneous destruction. For although the law of attraction is powerful, the basis of your experience is that of well-being. I'm underlining that in the way I'm saying it. And even though your thoughts are magnetic and expand with your attention, you have plenty of time, as soon as you become aware of any negative feelings, to begin to choose other less resistant thoughts and thereby choose a more desired outcome. Remember, you can allow it or resist it in varying degrees, but the stream of well-being always flows. So even a small effort made toward choosing a better feeling thought will net you obvious results. And once you have taken that step and you do find that better feeling thought, you have given yourself the conscious freedom to go from wherever you are on any topic to anywhere you want to be. Once you deliberately choose a thought and consciously feel the improvement in the way you feel, you have successfully utilized your own guidance system, and you can now be on your way to the freedom that you desire and deserve, for there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. That's reassuring, especially this idea that our basis is well-being, so that even if we're focusing on negative thoughts for far too long to our detriment, it's easier to climb out than we think, because the well-being is what gets us through. We are connected to our well-being, even when we pinch ourselves off from it, even though we're blocking ourselves so we don't even see it. We're still connected to it. That's a reassuring thought.
Yes, yes. It's always there. It's always part of who we are. So it's just a matter of reconnecting to that stream of well-being. just consciously knowing that and reconnecting to it.
That's right. In fact, this is where I like tying together the various other pieces of the books. Like right now, my wife and I are reading The Vortex together, and it's been making a lot of references to the difference between you, lowercase y, and you, uppercase y, where one is your physical you and the other is your non-physical you. In fact, they make the point that when we come into physical existence, we come from the non-physical, and most people think we come from the non-physical, become physical, live our lives out, die, and then go back to non-physical. And their point is, no, that's not accurate. We come from non-physical, we become physical, and while we're physical, we're still also non-physical. We're both at the same time. So we don't actually lose our connection to the non-physical. And then after the end of our natural lives, then we revert completely to non-physical. So we're always non-physical at all times. It's just that part of the time we're on the leading edge of creation, as they call it, while we're simultaneously physical. Well, that means we're always connected. So if you want to understand emotion, for instance, and this is where I love their explanation, your connection between your physical and your non-physical is where your emotions occur. When you're non-physical and your physical are in alignment, whether in, you know, agreement with each other, that's where you feel good. When you're out of alignment, where the non-physical, because non-physical is always in the stream of well-being, right? It always feels good.
Yeah.
So when the non-physical part of you is feeling good and the physical part's not feeling good, that's where you start to have negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it that way. I say, for the first time in my life, now I understand what the connection is between physical and non-physical, between physical and spiritual. Up until that point in time, I didn't really get it. That made me get it. I don't know about you, but that was really a major point for me.
Yeah, yeah. They say we're spiritual beings, vibrational beings, having a physical experience.
Right. Yeah. Well, that phrase I'd heard, and that phrase was appealing. It wasn't until I heard the explanation about being in or out of alignment between physical and non-physical aspects of ourselves, where they're both aspects of ourselves, and that's where the emotions come from. That is what resonated. That's where I said, whoa,
and
okay.
How do you tell when you're in alignment compared to when you're not in alignment?
When you're in alignment, you feel good. Your emotions are happy.
Exactly.
Your emotions are positive. Exactly. When you're out of alignment, you're depressed, you're miserable, you're fearful, you're frustrated, you're angry. Those are all signs that you're out of alignment.
And the good news is that we can deliberately shift from out of alignment into alignment.
Which is something that somebody who is a disbeliever doesn't believe. They literally don't.
They just need to be coached. They can experience it. Then they'd be like, oh, I do feel a little bit better. And that little bit feeling better means you just raised yourself vibrationally.
It's quite an epiphany to discover that you can actually control your emotions when you believe for so long that you can't.
Yes.
When you believe for so long that your emotions are completely dependent upon whatever events happen in your life.
Yes.
When you can actually move your emotion your first time, like, whoa, how did I do that? That's the way it feels. How the heck did I do that? I didn't know I could do that.
That's right. And it was strictly through shifting how you were thinking about something or how you were thinking in general.
Yeah, yeah. And you look around and your situation hasn't changed. That's the part that's amazing about it. You realize that your situation hasn't changed one whit, but you're feeling different about it now.
Yes.
That's just plain amazing. So, it's a pretty short chapter.
There's something else I had to tell you about.
What's that?
Just to shift the subject. You know how we have our theme of talking about vibration-raising foods?
Yeah.
Well, I had something this past week that I wanted to tell you about because it was a total vibration-raising food. And it was called vanilla bean creme brulee.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever had creme brulee.
I don't recognize it by name. I've heard the name, but I don't remember actually having it and knowing that I was having it.
So basically there's like a vanilla, it's like a shallow bowl, and there's like a vanilla custard on the bottom of the bowl, most of it. But then on top, they take a flame to it at the top. So the top has like a crunchiness. So the top is crunchy. Underneath the crunchy is this vanilla bean custard. And when you bite into it, it's just like heaven. It's just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I have to tell Walt about this vanilla bean creme brulee because he's got to try it. Because if he does, he's going to be like, woo.
You're just bound to determine that I have a sugar shock, aren't you? I mean...
But I'm seriously, you guys, so the next time you have the opportunity to try vanilla creme brulee, try it. Even if you just take one teaspoon, it's a vibration-raising teaspoon. So, I don't know. Maybe when you see it, you'll realize you've had it before, but it was just that good.
So does that fall into the same category as a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down?
Probably. Because if you put any medicine in there, it's going to go down, and you're going to enjoy it.
I guess so, yeah. You'll say, medicine? What medicine?
So did you have any vibration-raising foods this past week?
This past week? Let's see. Nothing's really grabbing my attention. You have to remember, we eat so well because Louise really feeds us really well. And so it's always one good meal after another. So trying to find something that really stands out is a little bit tough. I mean, every meal was good, you know.
Every meal was vibration raising.
Yeah, they all are. Yeah. And plus,
there you go. That's even better.
Plus, it's us time. It's time when we get to talk and all that kind of thing. And especially when I can drag her attention away from wanting to watch a movie, and then we get to get into stuff. In fact, that's actually something we started. Did we start this past week or the week before? I can't remember which.
Yeah.
We started reading The Vortex to each other, the Abraham Hicks book, The Vortex. And basically, we were introducing her to the same thing that you and I experienced talking about Asking It Is Given. Because when we talk about these chapters, you know, chapter by chapter, one show per chapter and so forth, on the one hand, it seems like we're dragging it out forever. But on the other hand, we get into it in depth. We start exploring stuff in ways perhaps we hadn't even thought about. And,
interesting. That's great.
You know, so we were doing the same thing with The Vortex, and she's liking that. We've done that with non-self-improvement stuff. For instance, the Harry Potter books, when they came around, we were reading the Harry Potter books to each other. And we've done it with other books, too. So it's not a new experience from that perspective. But the good part is that she gave up watching cop shows all week. I mean, she's a cop show fanatic. You know, Law and Order and Boston Blue and all those other, I don't even know what they're called. And she actually got away from them. She's not watching those. So there's a win right there. That was great.
That's good, yeah, because I'm sure watching those type of shows could be vibration lowering.
Oh yeah, and she decided she didn't want that anymore. She wanted to improve it, and she is. She's doing it. She's been doing other stuff too. She's got a whole bunch of things going on that she's improving her vibration on. So it's great.
That's wonderful.
You get to raise your own vibration, and you get to see what your partner is doing at the same time. You know.
That's right. That's great because I think it would be amazing if every couple was into the law of attraction and knew all the things you guys know. So I mean, you could actually say to each other, you know, I can tell you're at a low vibration. You got to do something to raise yourself.
Yeah, it does make the conversation easier. You're right.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it also gives us a basis beyond the relationship. And the relationship is really the basis for everything, right? But beyond that, the similar goal, the similar path. That's one thing they say about a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship, among other things, is where both parties of the relationship are growing at relatively the same rate. One may grow a little bit faster than the other, and then they may switch and so on and so forth. But pretty much on the same path and the same growth cycle. Because when that happens, the relationship gets really, really strong, which is exactly what has happened with Louise and I. And
that's wonderful. Yeah, because I've done many times couples coaching. And it is amazing when a couple shares their wins every day and practices the different processes, the law of attraction processes together. They just start growing at a deeper level, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, any listeners who are currently coupled and you know, have a significant other or husband, wife, whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend, I don't care what it is, if you have somebody like that in your life and you're both at least willing to explore law of attraction type thinking, try the three gratitudes, or as we call it, the three good things. Do that every night because it's so much easier to do it when you're doing it with somebody else. Among other things, you got the other person to remind you, hey, we haven't done the three gratitudes. Oh, yeah, we got to do that, right? And then
ask each other, like, oh, honey, what wins did you have? Like, you know, towards the end, what wins did you have today?
Yeah, what wins did you have? Or what?
You a few things that happened, and then they'll ask, oh, what wins did you have today? And it's just such an amazing experience to have that with your partner.
Because you actually get six wins. Because you come up with three, and your partner comes up with three. That's six wins.
Yes.
So you basically double your benefit. Plus, it's so much easier when you're doing it with somebody else. When you're trying to do it yourself, you're trying to keep your thoughts under control, and then you're trying to express it, and you're the one who has to respond to the expression, and it is a lot more work that way. But when you're doing it with somebody else, then you're just kind of, you know, pushing each other along. It makes it a lot easier, a whole lot easier. So if you are in a couple, take advantage of that, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes even if someone says, well, oh, but I had a bad itch and I'm not going to share my wins, then I say, well, did you have safe transportation today? They're like, yes. I'm like, oh, that's a win. Did you make healthy choices with what you ate today or exercise? Oh, yeah, no, I did that. That's a win. And they're like, oh. See, sometimes people think a win has to be some magnificent thing that happens.
No, it doesn't
have to be. And sometimes it can be if it does, but it's not the only thing that counts as a win.
Yeah, it just has to be something good that happens, something positive.
That's right. And those, quote, little things are just as important to recognize as the more obvious ones, because it still puts you in that win vibration when you recognize it as a win.
The other thing we notice is that by doing this exercise, we pull back up stuff that happened during the day that we already forgot about.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah. You know, good things happen, and somehow we just let ourselves be drawn back to the negatives again and forgot completely that they happened. And we start itemizing them. It's like, oh, my God, a lot of good things happened today. How did I not notice
that?
That's right.
There's always wins happening, even when something non-win is happening, but you're still experiencing other wins throughout the day. It's totally true. Totally.
One of the things that Louise wanted early on, and we've had whenever we could even scrape the money together to do it, is to have somebody come in to do the house cleaning so that neither one of us, meaning she, has to do it.
Yes,
and
that's a good thing.
That's a win. Every time that housekeeper comes and cleans up the house, that's a big win right there. You know? And even with that, yeah, I mean, you have a person who came into your apartment, because we have an apartment. She comes into our apartment. She does her thing. You know, she vacuums. She cleans the counters in the kitchen, does the bathrooms, all that kind of stuff. She was there. She was there during the day physically. And then at the end of the day, we've forgotten that she was there. We have to actively remember that she was there to celebrate the win. And if we don't, it's like we lost the opportunity to feel good about something that was actually happening, that was good.
Yes.
So it shows how important
when
it is.
When you start becoming aware of wins,
yeah,
it's interesting, like, the more you do, the more you do kind of as the day goes along in your mind, oh, that was a win. Oh, that was a win. Oh, that was a win, too. It's kind of interesting.
And it may not happen right away, but it does happen at some point or other.
And more proof that like energy attracts like energy, because one of the things I request of my clients is to keep a win journal. And a lot of times in the beginning, maybe they're having like two or three wins a day, and it's not long at some point where their list of wins start like doubling.
Right.
And it just increases as time goes by because they're starting to focus on what wins they're having. And by doing that, they're attracting more wins.
And those wins are so important. I mean, is there any aspect of our life where it isn't important?
No, the more wins, the better. Win, win, win.
Speaking of which, we need to recognize something that happened this week. There was a young man from Florida who won the lottery in a big, big way.
I heard about that, yes.
And the interesting thing is that he put out a message about it. He said, if there is one thing I have learned thus far in my short time on this life, it is that those who maintain a positive mindset and stay true to themselves get rewarded.
Wow, at 20 years old, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's how he won a $450 million drawing.
Yes, he did, all by himself.
All
he
by himself. Yeah.
Yep.
He also tweeted, the power of positive thinking should not be underestimated.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, he tweeted that on January 7th. So
fantastic.
And January 7th, by the way, he tweeted that before he won the jackpot.
Wow. That is very good.
Yeah, none of the news services noticed that part. They just reported that he tweeted it. They completely missed the part that he tweeted it before he won the jackpot.
Wow. That is wonderful.
So he just demonstrated how important it is.
What was it? Was it like $450 million or something?
$450 million he won, yeah.
Wow, 20 years old.
It's going to be interesting to see what we hear from him, because he said he's going to use the money for good, and I'm going to be curious to see what good amounts to. It's going to be very interesting to see what he comes up with.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I mean, it could mean anything, because good means different things to different people, but I'm sure we will find out. At least I hope we do.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. So we've got like one or two paragraphs left in the chapter. Let's do those. It says, and even though your thoughts are magnetic and expand with your attention, you have plenty of time. Oh, wait a minute. We already did that one. Yes, here we go. Remember, you can allow it or resist it in varying degrees, but the stream of well-being always flows. So even a small effort made toward choosing a better feeling thought will net you obvious results. And once you have taken that step and you do find that better feeling thought, you have given yourself the conscious freedom to go from wherever you are on any topic to anywhere you want to be. And that's it, isn't it? This is basically the core, basic, fundamental way to have everything, to have it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live
from where you are to where you want to be. And
in fact,
it's all within your thoughts.
Absolutely. In fact, in the Vortex, I was also reading portions of The Law of Attraction, the other book by Abraham Hicks. They had a whole section where they talk about being in your creative workshop. Remember that?
Yes.
The creative workshop is where you get yourself feeling good, and then you sit down and you just focus for some time on whatever it is you're trying to attract into your life and whatever your lifestyle you want to be in all of its aspects. It's kind of like doing a mindful vision board, but you're doing it live rather than putting stuff onto a board. And
I think they recommend the four main areas of your life, like your health, your career, your relationships, like things like that.
And then they have some wording that goes along with it. And when you read the wording, they talk about not worrying about trying to save a bunch of money, but having unlimited funds. Not worried about trying to, just have a little bit better health or something like that. Unlimited good health. Unlimited relationships. Good relationships. Unlimited all of it. Unlimited.
Yes.
And that's a lot at first. Because certainly if you have any degree of concern or doubt, you say, well, geez, I don't know. Unlimited. I'm not sure I can believe in that. But if you can believe in it, even with the size of a mustard seed, as they say, right? Just that much belief and nothing more. There is no limit to what we can do. There are no limits to our life.
Except limits that we place on ourselves for whatever reason.
Which are the only ones that we have. And we've got lots of them. But we're really good at it.
Especially when it comes to money and things. A lot of times I ask people, well, if you had an unlimited amount of money, what would you do? What would you even buy? And sometimes it takes them a while to break through to say, well, I would have a private jet. Oh, and I would have five different homes in five different locations, because they're just so limited in the way they think until they give themselves permission to break through that.
It reminds me of Mike Dooley with his Notes from the Universe. He has some really classic notes in there. For those who don't know it, Notes from the Universe is an email list that you can sign up for that sends out a different note every day.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the notes are just basically it's like the universe just sent you a little message, and he writes it from that voice. And the message always contains some sort of tidbit to give you, motivation to get through your day, to feel good or whatever it might be. There's lots of good stuff. It's a good thing to be part of. I remember one time though, he sent out a note that basically said that you want to dream big and that you want to be thinking about your biggest possible dreams. And I don't remember exactly how the note was phrased, but the gist of it was you're riding in your private jet, or not you're riding, you're looking at purchasing your private jet. And they take you up on a test flight so you can explore it. And you're there with your mate, and they got all this great food and so forth. And the cost of the fuel alone is like $150,000. And they're laying out just how lavish this thing is. And the first words that come out of your mouth are, "This is great, but do you have something that's not in leopard skin? That's so 1990s." It's a great mindset to have. It is. It's a terrific mindset,
Yeah.
I'm still working on mine. And hey, we're beginning to manifest too. My big goal, my thing that I'm trying to focus on more than anything else is the growth of the podcast, the growth of the listenership to the point where for 2018, we get 1 million plays. And as long as that upward curve keeps going and it's showing every sign it's going to do that, you know, we just have to keep believing because it's going to happen. And you know, so I urge people to follow along. By the way, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so. There are a number of ways you can do it. And I also have new information for those of you who are Google or Samsung Android users, because I've been giving out wrong information, David. Can you believe that I was giving out wrong information? Yeah.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. We found the correct thing. See, I'm not an Android user. I'm an iPhone user, so I didn't realize that I was giving out wrong information. In general, anybody can subscribe just by going to loatoday.net and clicking the subscribe button. However, the one catch, so to speak, if you are an Android user, a Samsung or Google or any of the other Android phones, you have to have software installed first, some podcast software, something that will play podcasts.
Oh, I see.
One that we found that is a free one that you can get through the Play Store is called Podcast Manager. So you need to download and install the Podcast Manager app before you can do anything or something similar to it, something that can play podcasts. And then once you've done that, I used to say go to the Play Store to subscribe. You actually don't have to do that. You're better off going through whatever app you're using because they all have a little search function. Use the app to search for LOA Today. The app will find it in the Play Store for you. If you go directly to the Play Store, you may not find it. But if you do it through your app, you'll always find it. And, of course, if you're using an iPhone, it's really simple. You just go to iTunes and look for LOA Today, or you go to your app and go, again, look for LOA Today. But any way you do it, you really want to subscribe. And tell your friends about it, too. We're finding that when people subscribe, they listen to large numbers of episodes. And we have a lot more episodes than we used to have, David.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I were doing like 4 to 5 a month. We're now getting 45 a month. And people are listening to them. Last month, the average listener listened to 22 podcasts in a month. So we know people are listening, and we know that they're listening through, too. That's the other thing. You never really know if they're going to download or are they going to play the whole thing. But we find out that, yes, they are playing the whole thing because they're downloading the whole thing. They're not breaking the download halfway through. We're finding that 95% of the time they're playing the whole thing. So it's really very encouraging. But we want you to also share it with other people. That's my point there. We want you to share it with friends who are at least sympathetic to the law of attraction or are interested in positive thinking and so forth, because we want more and more people to get the message that they can get their daily dose of happy just like you do. And now that we're doing it, you know, five days a week plus Sundays and the 5 days that we do it Monday through Friday, we're doing it twice a day. There's all kinds of opportunities to get your daily dose of happy. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure we got that in there. We got about 2 minutes left, David. Maybe you can take a little time to talk about how they can reach out to you if they want the private coaching, because you said you had that one person who reached you, and so we know that people are doing it. That was like the second or third one who did that, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, at least. So if you're interested in law of attraction coaching, which is great to not only help you attract what you want, but one of the greatest results is that people genuinely feel happier, you know, and more excited about life, which to me is even more important. You can just go to lifecoachdavid.com, and you can contact me through there. And if you do go to lifecoachdavid.com, sign up for my Law of Attraction newsletter, because I put that out about once a month. There's always some great information in there as well.
That sounds good. That's good. By the way, something that I'll tease our listeners with, and I'll tell you about it too, because I haven't really talked to any of our co-hosts yet. But this book that we're doing, which is going to contain all of the LOA stories, all of the manifestation stories, I'm thinking once we get the book done, we'll probably transition into an email list. So people will be able to get a daily email about Law of Attraction manifestation stories. So,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, keep that on your back burner. That's going to be something to look forward to.
Yes.
Anyway, David, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We're running out of time, so I better just say it's been a pleasure. I'm glad that we did it. We've got one more chapter to go. Let's do that next week.
Nice. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay, me too. And meanwhile, be sure to tune in during the week, Monday through Friday, with the other co-hosts. And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.